Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I am your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we go more in-depth into the topics on the website at CatherineColleen.com. And you can send in your questions to questions@koabd.com, or you can register at the website and put the questions in the discussion area there. I will answer them on the podcast and often just answer you right back right then, so you don't have to wait. So let me know how I can help. We're determined here to help you find an integrated life, mind, body, soul, peace, and everything else, however you choose to define it. So today we're talking about how do you want to be remembered, and how we account for people. And the reason that I wanted to talk about this is that lately it seems that if a person, usually a celebrity or a politician or a public figure or a sports star or an actress or an actor or whatever, anyone remotely in the public eye, if they have done anything in their past that is now considered untoward, we must fire them from their current job and scrub their name from history entirely. This is kind of where it goes right now. And I get it. We don't want to hold up a negative example that people might then try to emulate, right? We don't want to hold up people who behaved badly and say that you should be like them. I get that. But here's the thing. Have you never done anything wrong? Ever? Just a little bit? Who among us has never done anything wrong? Did you ever do something that at the time you thought was okay and later realize that it's not okay? And here's the bigger question. Should our mistakes define us? If our mistakes should define us, if our mistakes should trump anything else that we may have done, then Martin Luther King Jr. should only be remembered as a wife-beating alcoholic. Should we remember him that way? I don't think so. I think we should remember him for his accomplishments. But should his speeches and his efforts towards social harmony mean nothing? Should they be scrubbed from history and from the schools and from the streets? I don't think so. Should statues of him be torn down? I hope not. Because he really had something to contribute to this world despite his mistakes. Despite his humanity and the things that he did wrong, he did so much more right and had so much more to contribute. And I think we all have something to contribute to this world, despite our humanity. For some of us, maybe our humanity is what we have to contribute to this world. So how should a human be remembered? How should a human being be remembered? By their mistakes or by their contributions? There are some people for whom we put the blinders on and we only see their contributions and we don't see their mistakes, we don't see their humanity. And I don't think that's any better for us than the times when we put on the blinders and we only see somebody's humanity, we only see the mistakes that they did and the things they did to be ashamed of. So I would suggest that we remember both, lest the next generation think it's not okay to be imperfect. Oh, whoops, they already do. Let's account for a person's entire humanity truthfully and celebrate their contributions. In other words, let's be real about their failures and the stuff they screwed up, and let's be real about the contributions they made to this world. Let's not negate their contributions because they fucked up. That's my point. And let's not negate the fact that they fucked up just because they made a good contribution. Let's see the whole person. Let's represent the whole person in their truth, their full truth. Because it's the same for all of us. And I know none of us wants to be remembered for the things we've screwed up. Nobody wants to be remembered for the things we did wrong, even if we thought they were right at the time. But that is who we are. That is the truth of our past. And I think we should all be remembered for the entirety of that truth. So let's account for our society's history. Let's broaden this out. Let's account for our society's history in full, colorful truth. Instead of scrubbing away the names of those who owned slaves, I propose that we seek to find out the names of those slaves and give them public credit and appreciation for the plantations and the farms and the industries that they bolstered. Shine a light on these individuals as real people and give them human dignity, which is the opposite of what tends to be happening today, which is to let's scrub the names of these former slave owners, regardless of their contribution to the nation's history. Let's get rid of their names off everything and act like they never existed. But when you do that, you negate the existence of every slave they ever owned. That's my opinion. And I have a little bit of a strong opinion about this. So in my family's history, there is a woman, probably. Could have been a man. Most likely it was a woman. A second generation slave born here who never got credit for the child that she bore and whose name we will never know, but she lives on in our genes. And I have to believe that aspects of her are alive within me today. Now, before you go casting stones, let me clarify that if someone were to do something illegal or immoral in the present day, it may be in their employer's best interest to part ways and save their own reputation. And if I was their employer, I certainly would not hesitate. And it certainly makes a difference if they regret their actions that harmed others. So when I'm saying that, when I suggest that we should see the whole person and not just their mistakes, sometimes the contributions trump the mistakes. In the case of Martin Luther King Jr., that's a great example. The contributions so outweigh the mistakes. It doesn't make the mistakes not real, but the contributions are so significant. There may be others whose mistakes outweigh the contribution. Okay, we could put it on a scale like that. But it certainly makes a difference if they regret their actions. If they look back on actions that are far in the past and think, wow, I really screwed up. That's got to count for something. Now, if they are either carrying out these actions right this minute, or they have zero regret about it, and they're like, yeah, I did that, what? I'd do it again. That does kind of weigh more heavily on the mistake side in terms of their contributions. But certainly all of that should be taken into account. But a social media-dominated society demands authenticity. I mean, it judges you for your authentic mistakes while presenting only its own perfect moments, right? So the social media world expects you to be authentic, right? To be real, to talk about the things that you screwed up and you did wrong, while they themselves often only present the perfect picture of themselves and their lives. I think that's very interesting. There are a lot of glass houses out there. So it comes down to this. How do you want to be remembered? What you do today that is perfectly normal could be in 150 years considered horrible and immoral. You think I'm joking? Let's think about it. What do we do today that's considered totally normal? Nobody would ever question it. But in 150 years might be considered horrifying. Is it eating meat? I don't know. Could that be considered immoral 150 years from now? What else do we do that could be considered immoral? Sending our kids to public school? I don't know. It's kind of a fun exercise to think about what that might be. Codes of morality and acceptability change continuously. So think about that. And some would say, judge others as you would like to be judged. I want to offer a completely different idea. How about we don't judge others at all? How about instead of judging others and ourselves, we see the humanity, that they are human and they make mistakes, sometimes gravely so. And we are human and we make mistakes, sometimes gravely so. And we try to do our best. Most people try to do their best. Some, okay, there's a few people out there that just seem to be pure walking evil. They're still human. And there's a reason that they act out in the way that they do. And I'm sure there's a few that are all nasty and no good, no contribution, and all mistake. Statistically, if there's Mother Teresa, there's bound to be her opposite. But the average person doesn't really mean to be horrible. But in that moment, given their background, they make mistakes. Let us see the entire person, but not judge them. That is my point. How do you want to be accounted for? And how do you account for other people? If you spend a lot of time in stage five, identifying with your ideology as yourself, then you're going to spend a lot of time offended and judging others who have different beliefs than you. And it's especially important when you find yourself in that stage to remember first your own humanity and second the humanity of others. Past and present. I would recommend avoiding jumping on the bandwagon of demonizing any one person that you've never personally met. That's the point. All right, that's pretty heavy stuff, so that'll be enough for today. Trying to see the humanity in others is a really important exercise to forward your progress through the stages of development. So as you watch the news, which I just don't recommend, but as people come in front of you by headlines or other means, try to see their humanity. Try to imagine it. And then look in the mirror. But for the grace of circumstance goes you. Deep stuff. Stuff to think about. Thanks for joining us today. Again, if you have questions, you can send them into questions@koabd.com. I will answer your emails personally. And also bring up your topics on the podcast to help others, which is why we are here. So let me know how I can help you and how you can then in turn help others by sharing your situation. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.